so welcome, Robert. I'm here with Rob Candle, and he is the host of the Tough Love podcast and the author of a book, I believe, that's coming out called Unhidden. And awesome to have you on. And Rob, if you want to kind of introduce yourself and talk about the things that you are interested in, that you help people with, that'd be awesome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me on my show. My name is Rob Candle, and I've been a coach and educator for close to 20 years at this point. I am here to make an impact of helping people communicate and see and feel, first and foremost, things about themselves, the parts that they hide and don't confront, and then with people they love, and building communication bridges and containers so people, mostly men and women, can say what they want to say, hear what's maybe troubling to hear, and have the intimate relationships that they truly desire.
Awesome. And I guess, you know, some things that, you know, I read one of your blog posts actually around you being in a relationship with a woman who has a child. Mm-hmm. And I work with, you know, single dads, and, you know, I do actually work with many men who aren't the biological father, but have been through a breakup with a woman who has children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the kind of the learning and the growth that needs to come along with, you know, kind of just being in that kind of a relationship. And I read your post where you kind of talked about, you know, your upbringing and the things that you were exposed to in terms of like punishment and that kind of stuff, and how it's really shifted being in this relationship. And I wanted to kind of get your opinion on, you know, because you weren't, you know, you didn't go through the pregnancy stage, you didn't go through the infancy stage, you're just kind of thrown in the deep end. So what did you feel like were the lessons that you needed to learn or take on board, or, you know, traits that you needed to develop within yourself in order to kind of be that father figure for them?
It's been a really fascinating, challenging journey. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I would say that being a co-parent is one of the most difficult aspects of my life, but it's also one of the most rewarding. I met Morgan 3.5 years ago. I knew that she had kids. We started to date, and I fell in love with her really quickly. And I knew on some level that these two children, two girls that she had, were part of the package. And I could either accept it as part of the package or sort of individualize or try to separate the two, the mom and the kids, which I didn't think it was going to work. So I said, if I want to be with this woman, I have to accept all of her. And all of her is these two powerful little beings. And so one was really just confronting, two was surrendering, and three, most importantly, was for me to say, I'm going to let them come to me in their own time. I'm not going to try to impose my viewpoint of what this relationship is supposed to be. I didn't want to come in with some idea of what a stepfather would be. I wanted to learn and pay attention to what they wanted and mold myself to that. And the biggest challenge is that the way Morgan raises the kids, with a lot more space and a lot less discipline, was very different than my own. So I feel my own childhood rules and ideas often come up. And instead of acting on them, I have to watch Morgan and relearn the way parents should interact with children.
Mm. So do you feel like the biggest thing that you had to kind of take on board, it sounds like, was really unlearning or relearning something new that was kind of more resourceful or more beneficial, I guess, for the family unit. But did you feel like you had to kind of, I guess, tap into your more of a feminine side or your nurturing side and things like that?
I had to tap into many things because it was Morgan and two girls, and Morgan's a very feminine woman. So I think she was looking for my masculine to play in this family constellation. So, but also it's really just slowing down. That's the thing I had to work on the most, was not going at my speed of relating of them understanding things, of them accepting things, I had to slow down to their speed. I had to get on their ride in order for me to be a good father, because I was not set up to be the the person holding the discipline. I wasn't, you know, that's not my role. My role is to be a powerful, positive male adult force in their life, not to replace their father, but to add another option so these children can see a different kind of man, especially in relationship to their mother.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I love that, you know, because I think it's a very, you know, what it kind of says to me is that femininity, I guess, is very much about kind of presence, right? Being in the moment and connecting emotionally. Mm-hmm. Whereas for men, like, it can be a bit of a struggle sometimes to be able to do that, because we're just, I guess, you know, kind of with our upbringing and just with society, it's always like kind of man needs to work, hustle, grind, keep doing something. And getting out of that can feel like almost that you're doing nothing, right? I've had experiences with men, like on retreats and stuff, where, you know, we didn't do much. It was kind of a challenge where we just were silent for a day, and they felt like it was a waste of a day. I could have been with my kid. I could have been working. And it's a very big challenge for men to kind of just slow down and be in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, that's for sure. Cause we have the kids every other weekend, and those weekends I've dedicated, unless there's something important, I have to travel to be with them. And some of the day we're just sitting around the house all day. They're making slime. They're talking to their friends. They're watching videos. And I work very hard to not pick up my phone, not to go into work mode, just to be available. I tend to read a lot when I'm around them, just to show them the power of reading. But yeah, there's a lot of days I'm like, wow, I just wasted the whole day. But I don't know that. I don't know what messages they picked up. I'm not sure what value they've gotten. And I just have this viewpoint that if I'm around and available and not enforcing this workaholic nature that I have on them, that they can get benefit from that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Love it. And so there was another thing that you kind of spoke about. I don't know if it was one of your podcasts or a blog that I read, where you spoke about how important it is for men to be able to improve themselves so that they're able to hold space for a partner or let's say a co-parent as well. Because, you know, I guess it's one train of thought where single dads will get into the habit of saying, well, she's just going off her head. She's crazy. And so she needs to just pull her head in and I don't need to do anything. What's kind of your opinion on that? And what do you feel like men need to improve?
Well, I was raised to believe that men are superior than women. Women are lazy. Women are weak. Women are crazy. So that was my upbringing. Those are the messages I received as a child in the 1970s and 80s, especially in the East Coast of the United States, that men were superior. And then through a series of ego-destroying episodes, I really saw that it was not true, that women are more powerful in most ways than men. So I had to readjust my listening. And the thing that happens in society is we do this to each other. It doesn't matter what the gender, but often when a woman has a feeling, an emotion, a need, a desire, an anger, when they start to express it, what happens to the man is that he starts to feel uncomfortable. Her acting in her way is putting to a point of his own agitation, maybe because he doesn't have connection to his desire or his anger. And so her actions is having him feel shaky. What the man tends to do is to shut down the woman, to try to make her smaller, to clamp it down, to restrict so he doesn't have to feel comfortable. And what happens is two negative things. One is you have a shutdown woman, which is never a good thing because that comes out later badly. The second is the man doesn't have the opportunity to grow, to expand, to increase his skill, to find his expanded presence. And so in my relationship with Morgan, my wife, there are many times she's doing something that I feel is uncomfortable, especially around the kids or something that she's doing. And my first instinct is to shut her down, put her in a little box, squeeze her. Instead, what I do is I take a breath. I feel my own power. I extend my presence and I learn. And then it's a win-win situation. One, Morgan feels safe to tell me more than she's ever told another person in her entire life. And I have built skill after skill of holding more and more sensation. And that's where the most dynamic, honest relationships can occur.
Yeah, I love it. Because it's something I definitely talk about for men, you know, it's like the feminine or females in your life are giving you the perfect feedback for the kind of man that you are. Mm-hmm. You're attracting the kind of women into your life based on who you are. And the women are showing up in your life, I guess, in terms of how they interact with you based on the man that you are in that moment. Mm-hmm. It can be a bit of a difficult thing for men to actually take on board. Totally. Do you find that men, I guess maybe what's the mindset shift that you'd maybe encourage men to take on board?
Well, the first thing I would say is look at it as a practice. A lot, if you go at this like this is a should, you know, guys, you should do this, that's not very enjoyable, very pleasurable. And so my experience is men like games. Men like to climb mountains. They like to play video games. They like to play sports. They like to challenge themselves. They like to go to the gym. They like to create new ways for them to improve. And we often don't look at relating like that. We often look at it like we should be something or they should be something or it should be easier. It's not. Relationship's really hard. Relating is really hard. And so what I teach men is, okay, do you want a small game or do you want a big game? If you want a small game, go find a meek woman and ride, you know, and don't expand. But if you want a big game, if you want the World Series of relating, find yourself a powerful woman that challenges you. And then keep reminding yourself that you set up this game for your expansion, for your growth, for your mastery. And if you can get into the mindset, like I'm learning to hit a fastball, I'm learning how to play guitar. If you look in the same mindset of practice, then when you miscue and make a mistake, it's easier. But if you're looking at it like I should be good at this already, or you're beating yourself up, that's the quickest way to, you know, failure basically.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. And so I guess there would definitely be a mindset, it would be fair to say, I think, with, you know, when it comes to single dads and, you know, more specifically single dads who kind of get, I guess, alienated through like the court system or, you know, they're not able to see their kids for whatever reason, that that they kind of have this mindset or they get on the bandwagon, let's say, of my ex, the narcissist. Mm-hmm. And look, it may be true, but I think it's definitely something that's been thrown around a lot in terms of just brandishing every situation, every dad who's been through a bad situation or can't see their kids with their ex, the narcissist. So maybe, because I know you talked about like narcissistic people on one of your podcasts as well. What do you feel like is maybe a good way to, I guess, handle narcissists? And also, what do you feel like it might be, you know, like a mindset to look at, you know, whether this actually is a narcissistic person?
Well, that's a few questions in there. The first thing I would say, because I watch Morgan's ex-husband and her disconnect time and time again, and I don't know him well, and this is a lot of my just seeing in the brief moments we've interacted, but he feels really hurt. The guy just feels hurt. And I don't know if he's taking full responsibility, but the point is that he's taking his hurt and then trying to punish Morgan and trying to, you know, through that punish the kids for his own hurt. So if you're broken up in a single dad and feel angry with your ex-wife and you feel stuck, the first thing is like your feelings are right. Your feelings of hurt are being right, but it doesn't work very hard to lean to your ex-wife to try to fix it or try to make yourself feel better by having her feel worse. Because guess who the impact is? The impact's on the kids. And the kids are watching, and the kids are watching closely. And every time you treat your ex-wife poorly, guess what? Those kids, a boy or the girl, are learning that behavior. And so there's significant negative impact that you may not be aware of. And I know it might feel good on some level to blame your ex-spouse, but I can tell you it's not helping. So do the work internally first and find out what it takes for you to resolve that hurt. Find your responsibility. Go see a therapist. Go find a coach. Go find a men's group. Go online and start chatting if you don't have the funds. Do something to stop taking all that anger and throwing it at your ex-partner, because that's the healthiest thing you can do for yourself first and foremost, and then for your kids. If you're interacting with a narcissist as an ex-partner, which happens, the first thing is, again, is to really research what that is, because the term narcissist is a very specific type of borderline personality disorder. And there are all these different flavors and all these different types. And so before you go labeling, go and do the research. And again, to see if your hurt is fogging your vision, to see if they're actually that. And if they are truly a narcissist, if you've done the research, if you talk to a professional, if you've done the work, then there's some really great resources out there. You know, talk to a therapist on the best ways to handle it and to the best way to take care of your kids. So it's a rocky road, but going in with your own side of the street clean and clear and with your own power restored, that's the best way to handle any situation.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just important, which I try to, you know, kind of teach to guys, is that even though she may be a narcissist or whatever, she's being difficult, that doesn't give you an excuse not to improve yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't give you the right, like, just to tap out and be like, I don't need to improve myself, because that means that if you do have a woman like that, or she's being difficult, then it's time for you to double down on the things that you need to improve in terms of your communication. Like, you need to be bringing your A game to every situation and every interaction that you have with that woman. And so the internal work, like you said, is really where it starts. I really believe that. So, you know, what kind of, I guess, internal work do you kind of work with guys on? And I guess, do you talk through that in your book and stuff, or?
Yes, for sure. The main thing I teach men is the concept of self-validation. Men, people, really, but men are external validation junkies. We look externally for proof and evidence that we're doing the world correctly. And we look at an attractive woman, that woman having sex with us, the car, the money, the position, the power. We look externally for this juice that we know we're living life right. And I think that's a really dumb thing to do, basically, because what you're doing is you're taking your sense of approval and putting on a very shaky, nonlinear source, something externally. So what I teach men is to build their own self-esteem, to do esteemable acts, to learn self-love, to value yourself. And in doing so, when things on the outside don't go so well, you have a more solid foundation. And the term I like to say is self-esteem is built upon esteemable acts. And so when you do things that build your self-esteem, that's how you build that power. For me, going to the gym, being honest with my partner, having integrity with my clients, keeping my word, showing up on time. You know, I have my own customized ways of building my self-esteem. And life throws you curveballs. Life throws me curveballs. But when I have this inner sense of power and love of who I am, first and foremost inside, it makes everything else smoother.
Yeah. Awesome. It's great, because it's so true. Like, it's so true. We feel like once we get the house, once we get the hot wife or the car or whatever, then I'll be happy. Then I'll reach a certain level of status, or then I'll reach a certain level of fulfillment. But the fulfillment, I guess, for me as well, like, it comes from the small things, like you said, like integrity, following through on your word, you know, having that internal sense of power of showing up day to day and being true to who you are and being authentic to who you are. That is actually probably one of the most powerful things that I've, you know, actually learned about myself. And it comes from regular practice with it, you know, and that's just having the kind of the courage to be authentic to yourself day in, day out. I would say it takes a bit of discipline as well.
Definitely.
Because of those curveballs. When's your book coming out? Tell us a little bit about that and what we can expect.
It's been an epic journey. I didn't really want to write a book, to be honest. And then my wife, Morgan, was like, you have to write a book. I'm like, I don't want to write. And she's like, you got to write a book. And so she's like, all right, you have to write a book. And so I put my first pen to paper, or, you know, typing on the keyboard, on January 1st, 2017. And I'm now wrapping up version 5. And due December 6th is now the official date. There have been previous dates out there, November 5th and November 15th. But really, I got some feedback that I had to rework the book in the last couple of weeks. And I'm really excited to have it published. So December 6th is the date. I'm going to do a 12-hour telethon or launch-a-thon. We're going to be online for 12 hours straight. I'm going to have people come into the studio. I'm going to have people online and just really celebrate my work and talk about it and just have it. So December 6th is the date.
Cool. And what kind of things do you talk about in it?
The book has four main sections. The main thesis is that it's really a tough time to be a man. It's a tough time for many, many reasons. There's been a significant change in the patriarchy. The patriarchy has been around for 6,000 years, and there's been a lot of changes in the last 50, you know, the 150, but really the last 50, we've seen significant changes in the empowerment of women, which is awesome and needed, but men haven't kept up. And they haven't had the complementary programs for their evolution. And so what's happened in the last 50 years is the concept of the patriarchy is starting to get really shaken. Me too. You know, even with someone like Trump in the White House is sort of the last holds of the patriarchy trying to hold down. And I think with the next election cycles, you'll see a lot of changes in the U.S. and in the world around it. So it's a tough time because men don't know who to be. And they can't follow the same scripts that their fathers and grandfathers, and they're not sure. So the book is a pragmatic guide of how to up-level, how to work with yourself, how to love yourself, how to relate to a powerful woman, how to find your purpose. And so the book is split into four sections. The first is about confronting what is, you know, showing the evidence of what's happening. The second is an investigation, going more deep into these concepts. The third is a practice, you know, offering pragmatic practices and exercises so men can find themselves and fall in love with themselves. And the four sections is resources, how to go further after these practices. And yeah, I'm really excited. It's been really fun to write. The feedback's been great. And it's a pragmatic guide for men to be happy and successful in these changing times.
Beautiful. I totally agree. You know, like, especially, yeah, with the Me Too campaign and stuff, like men are kind of, I guess, scared to be men or scared to do, to be anything really.
They are. Well, the main reason they're scared is they haven't developed the skills to adapt to the way women are today. And there's no blame here. There's no, you know, I have so much compassion for men. I have, you know, so much compassion for their confusion. They just haven't been given the resources or the encouragement to step up. You know, they look at the big mountain. A lot of them are just like, oh, it's really tall. I don't know how to get there. We're not given encouragement to take the steps to improve. And so it's really about learning new skills so you can keep up with the changing world and have your life the way you want it. You deserve it.
Yeah. Love it. Beautiful stuff, mate. Awesome. Awesome to have you on, mate. Definitely, guys, check out that book. It'll be a good read. So thank you, Rob. Cheers for jumping on.
Yeah. And all that can be found on my website at robertcandell.com. Pre-order the book until then, or order the book. And there's a bunch of other stuff on there, including my podcast. So you can find it all at robertcandell.com.
Beautiful stuff, mate. Thank you for jumping on. We will love to connect soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.